Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Well, we have got something with this William Ospreay, haven't we? Because it doesn't matter how you get over. If you're over, you're over. That's maths. Also, hello, my friends, and welcome to Ups and Downs, because the wrestling train never stops. And just to throw it all into a bucket, we are like, what, like 9 days away from WrestleMania 40? That scares the shit out of me, because I still remember WrestleMania 17. So does that mean it's going to be WrestleMania 60 soon? And then I have to start getting scared. Let's not worry about that, though. Let's talk about this episode of Dynamite, and let's up those doubts. The start of this week's show as well was so utterly ridiculous, because it was William taking on Shibata, and it's one of those matches that at one point in time should have been impossible, and yet 2024 Sports Entertainment just keeps on figuring it out. AEW also made sure to show footage from their first match, which was 7 years ago, and at that point, Shibata was the man, so he whipped Ospreay's ass, but now Will has come of age. So it's time to whip his ass instead. They started with some back and forth wrestling before Ospreay was able to dodge the PK when he dropkicked Shibata. That knocked that guy to the outside. So, of course, will Ospreay hit a dive? It is 2024 wrestling. Shibata is like Thanos, though, so he just booted William right in the skull before he dropped him on the floor. When they got back in the ring, he started giving them suplexes. Thankfully, that triggered the commercial. They were then back outside when Ospreay was jumping off Barry Barricade doing ridiculous things. Once again, they eventually did get back in the squared circle when Will was like, punch, 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 punch. Shibata just went, ha, 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 that means nothing. And he dropped this guy with a single blow. They then just started going from one submission to the next when they got bored of that, so started trading German suplexes. When, yep, of course, Shibata just caught Ospreay right in the STF. That both of these fools are ridiculous. He then did it again when he dug the hidden blade. But I tell you, this is when Will went for the Oz cutter and he finally got the pin. Shibata kicked out at one. I tell you, he's like a supervillain. I really do like the fact that all these guys do give Shibata so much respect, though, because they know, although he did have a mini heart attack when they started to go for the Tiger Driver, but eventually Shibata just stood there and said, give me some more, like he was Busta Rhymes. Probably a silly thing to do, because Will Ospreay hit him with the hidden blade. 1, 2, 3. Like the Danielson match as well, these two embrace afterwards, and it's just such a good professional wrestling match, as they work within their means, but also throw a few extras in there as well. I could watch this kind of stuff all day, as should you. Let's gang it out. And of course, Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson is on the horizon. We got this great video for Danielson as well. It basically went through his whole history, and kind of touched on WWE for about 3 seconds, but it just presented him as the absolute beast. I am pumped for this. Renee Paquette was then talking to the Young Bucks. Matthew and Nicholas were not happy, because they were all like, look, listen, yes, we are taking on Private Party later, but can everybody please stop talking about the last time we faced them a few years ago? It's not right. Matthew then made it very clear they had a specific plan when they came back to AEW, which was to restructure the Elite, retire Sting, hire Okada, and then win the tag team titles back. That's why they've got to do it. It also means they have to defeat Private Party in around about 3 minutes' time when they said to Renee, hey, you're doing a great job, but you need to smile more. I tell you, the amount of references they keep dropping, if you know, you know. Around about this time, too, Okada turned up in his Ferrari because he was going to watch the Young Bucks from backstage. I'm just going to fill you in here like Craig David. His reaction shots were so damn funny. He is so over the top without realizing he's being over the top. He's one of my new favourite weekly television characters. Which, of course, did bring us to this Private Party match. And look, sure, yes, I get it. It didn't really have any jeopardy, because not in a million years was the Young Bucks going to lose again, especially because we are trying to establish this new gimmick. But in terms of a You Go, I Go wrestling match, it's flabbing great. We also had a bunch of callbacks to the last match, where Mark Quinn and Isaiah Cassidy did nip-ups into super kicks, which is definitely going to annoy a lot of people, when they also did double dives. We've talked about it. If we don't have a show with a dive on it, how am I even meant to get through my day? Nicholas and Mark were then fighting on Barry Barricade 2, when they hit a Falcon arrow from off there right into the floor. I had to rewind this and watch it again, not because I'm like a gratuitous fellow, I just couldn't believe it. The Young Bucks used that to take control as well as they worked on the backs of Private Party, especially Mark Quinn. But all this time, Isaiah Cassidy was just rubbing his palm, and as soon as it was warm, he reached it out and he got the hot tag. He was able to take out Nicholas as well with a moonsault to the outside when he hit a crossbody. And I was like, listen, dude, that did look really good, but you know the deal with the body of the cross. It never actually does anything. It really worked for the fans though, because they were super duper behind Private Party at this point, when Mark Quinn made a terrible decision. Like, Isaiah's momentum had sort of been going in the wrong direction, but he clearly hadn't leveled his HP back up, but he still got in the ring. I was like, damn it, have you never played an RPG? It led to a damn German suplex on the ring apron. Das ist der Schwergister Teldesrings. As Matt and Nick were gonna go for the newly named Tony Khan driver, when Private Party basically cast distraction, and they got the most devastating move on Spot Entertainment, the surprise roll-up, because of course that's how they won last time. This time it didn't work. So it was just a wink, wink, nudge, nudge when we did the whole thing of you do a move, I do a move, we'll all do a move, somebody call Auntie Jo, and she can do a move too, so we just got one, two, ooh, one, two, ooh, and you can't tell me this wasn't fun, it was. Eventually Nick got so mad, he went to grab the ring bell, and the referee was like, man, you can't do that, why are you making my life so hard? But because they weren't looking, what did Matthew do? His favourite thing, he smacked some people right in the balls. This definitely offended Quinn though, because he then smashed him with the tag team titles for another one, two, ooh. I'm just laughing. I was like, they're all cheating. They don't have any morals. Mark then tried for the 450, but he totally missed, which is when Matt and Nick went for the EVP trigger. And yes, Nick Jackson slipped over, which apparently means we have to go, ah, ha, ha, ha. Have you never tripped over in your life? Of course you have. For the love of everything, would you get a real problem? Point is, they did connect. One, two, three, the Young Bucks go into the next round. I kind of was shown once more being super pleased about this, and given that Tony Khan especially has been like, man, we're going to go back to the past in order to cement our future, I really did get that kind of vibe from this. It was really, really good. It's getting it up. We then got this amazing video for Takeshita reminding you who he is in the main event later when he tries to become the number one contender. My word, we're going to get to that. When we saw Mercedes Moné arrived, and she got out of a car, but she didn't close the door. Don't know why that irked me, but it did. Before we got to her doing special guest commentary as well, we had this video with Darby Allin, who was just with Tony Hawk. Why wouldn't he be? As it turned out though, his quest to climb Mount Everest was going to be supporting Tony's charity, but now that he's broken his foot, they just wanted to use this couple of minutes to tell you about the cause, and I thought that was nice, especially because then Tony Hawk started to skate, essentially using Darby's broken foot. I was like, man, Toto, we ain't in Kansas anymore. We then moved right into Chris Jericho, who was talking to Hook. And I was kind of intrigued by this, because we basically spent a week bigging it up. So with that in mind, I do kind of think AEW over-egged the pudding here. Because Jericho went to Hook and basically said, hey, you're a really good wrestler. Why don't I mentor you? All right, why not? I do like the fact that we are going all in with Hook here, because he has all the potential in the world. And look, it is Chris Jericho. He has all the experience. And the sort of tease here was, oh man, Hook, maybe one day you can be world champion and I can help you get there. It just felt slightly flat because I thought this was going to be a big reveal. And also, I do need to see how this is going to play out. Because when it comes to the wonderfully haired warrior, well, he's got that Batman vibe. Sometimes you just want him to be by himself in the shadows. But yeah, all things considered, I think Jericho should have just offered this after their match last week. I actually think that would have had more impact. So I am going to give it a down. Like, it's a tiny, teeny down. That's just how I felt about it. I thought this was going to be a gangbuster announcement. And instead, they're just going to be like really close friends. Which is nice and all. Yeah. When it was time for Sky Blue versus Anna Jay versus Willow Nightingale versus Chris Statlander with Mercedes on commentary, I thought this was totally, absolutely fabulous. Now there is a story here as well, because Mercedes was basically talking about the entire roster when she was sat there, but when it came to Willow, she wasn't interested, because she's still pretty pissed off that she broke her foot. Bless Stokely Hathaway as well, because after he had come out with Nightingale, he ran back up the entranceway to also accompany Chris Statlander to the ring. That is the kind of goofy wrestling I need in my life. They all then smacked each other around for a while until Anna and Willow were left alone in the ring, but that's when Sky Blue got back in there. She started hitting DDTs. Statlander then also rejoined as she started hitting some lariats when Nightingale was like, ha ha, I'm gonna pounce everybody on the outside. And my word, she wrecked some fools. This also gave us some breathing room, which allowed Willow to look at Mercedes, so Mercedes looked at Willow, because you know the deal. When two wrestlers do that, it's super super serious, they're going to go to war. Everybody then started to fight again, and Statlander came out the best of that because she hit a fisherman buster for a 1-2-ooh. But then Willow was also here. She was busting out power bombs, also for a 1-2-ooh. It's wrestling tennis. Guy then continued this with a code blue before Anna felt left out, so she hit a gory bomb. That's when I fell down. This is totally nuts. Now, this was mostly done so eventually Chris and Willow could finally look at each other. But that's when Sky Blue was back, and she totally interrupted this, which she surely massively regrets now, because Willow grabbed her, just threw her into the ring apron. I've told you that's the hardest part of the ring. Chris then thought she saw this as an opportunity because she was going to hit Anna Jay with the Wednesday Night Fever. But after Anna had turned that into the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, it didn't work. She threw Statland to the outside. She turned around and Willow was like, hey, here I am. She hit the Dr. Bomb. She got the win. So now she is facing Julia Hart for the TBS title. And damn it, she should probably win the thing. Of course, Hart teleported in instantly after this and she smashed Nightingale right in the head with the belt because she doesn't like her now. When she too looked at Mercedes Moné, like I say, this situation is getting serious. Statlander and Hathaway then made sure to check on Nightingale to make sure she was okay. But the best thing about all of this, aside from the fact the match was so damn good, is you have at least four matches coming out the other side. And that's what we should be doing with all our divisions. There should be the crossing of the streams. The Ghostbusters were wrong. It's Giga.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Renee was then talking to Dustin Rhodes because he is having a pretty good 2024. She was all like, what's next, Dustin? He said, well, I'm going to go to WrestleMania and avenge my brother. He didn't say that. He did mention the fact that he's 55 but still good to go when the Butcher walked in, of all the people. But that made me pleased because we've now seen him 2 weeks in a row, so his shot must be doing better. Dustin then acted like his breath really smelled bad, but the Butcher was like, it's my moustache. It has a specific mask, so I fell in love with this instantly. And essentially, come Rampage, they're going to have a big rematch. And why the hell not, man? We should be using all the shows to advertise the other shows. And I really like these two guys. They make me happy. There was another one of these small skits which made me laugh too, because Timeless Toni Storm was on the set of Turner Classic Movies and she was hanging out with the host Ben Mankiewicz. It was basically a big love in for Storm though, as she acted like she had no idea who this guy was when she was like, Ben, you should do my catchphrase with me. So it's chin up, and he said chin up. She went, it's tits out. Without missing a beat, he just went, I'm not going to say that. It made me laugh. Of course, they then said to watch out for the shoe line, even though Ben didn't understand this either. When Tony did leave, she just threw her shoe back into frame. He went, well, yeah, that makes sense. This went about 45 seconds, but I am giving it up. I don't care. That annoys people so much, but I told you once, I tell you 7,000 times, if you get Goofy Wrestling for Life correct, honestly, I will be smiling about this for days. I'm a weird, weird guy. We then got the video for Swerve Strickland, who is also going to be in the main event, and AEW did a great job with this. Well, it was back to the tag team tournament. For it was Orange Cassidy and Trent taking on the Undisputed Kingdom, and yep, they had a terrific match. Now, as always, Cassidy took it easy to begin with when he walked up to Matt Taven. I think this must have caught Matt off guard. Orange's like, all right, well, I'm here now. He punched him in the face. It didn't work, so eventually he got thrown into Simba the Steel Steps. So that's when Trent got in there and he did a dive. And that inspired Cassidy, so he did one too, but his hands were in the pockets. That's just his way. Trent then tried for all the German suplexes, but Taven made sure he stopped that when Mike Bennett got involved. And it ended with Trent being pile-driven into the ring apron. Don't make me say it. Bennett then hit this awesome spine buster, which must have scared Trent, because eventually he got his knees up after an aerial maneuver. And that did open the door to get the hot tag to Orange Cassidy, which I always find fascinating because he is just a piece of fruit. His big plan was to hit the crossbody, and we've already talked about that, but he was able to also get a stun dog millionaire. When Taven was here, he blasted him with a knee when the tag clats and went off. They all went at it. Now, this was going to end when the best friends were going for their hug. That's when Roderick Strong was here. And because Chucky D was on the outside, he just went to him and he too got punched in the jaw. Orange was really upset about this, so he dove onto Roddy. And around about this time too, Matthew was trying to climb to the top rope, but Chuck had recovered. He wiggled the rope, meaning that poor old Bennett fell right into his crotch. And that is when Trent hit the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment. And he got the three. They're now going to fight the Young Bucks. Because of that too, Matthew and Nicholas did arrive in their elevator thing. This was great. Because they got to the top, they walked a few steps, they did look at them to make sure it's super serious when they went back and returned down the elevator. My word, give me more of that. This was just super fun once again though, so I am going to give it an up. But I tell you this, a little bit of a twist, I do have a down as well. Now I am a little bit worried in hindsight I'm going to look like a goober, but that's how I live my life, so don't worry about it. But last week, or whenever it was, Adam Cole made a big song and dance going, Wardlow, you let the team down, but now you have to watch Mike Bennett and Matt Taven and make sure they don't lose at the first hurdle. Where the flub was Wardlow? Now again, we could get to next Dynamite. Adam could be telling him off, but I am going to give it a down, mostly because I think if that was the story, somebody should have mentioned it. Maybe they did and I missed it, but I don't think that is the case. It just gets me a little worried about Wardlow. We don't want to stop his momentum again. We've done that too many times. So yeah, I'm giving it a down, and now we watch. Renee was then with Kyle O'Reilly and basically said, hey Kyle, do you want to get back with the Undisputed Kingdom? And he said, no. This is because he did take on Brian Keith a couple of weeks ago and got the win. That's why he's going back to Collision on Saturday, and he's going to get another one. Or so he hopes. We shall have to wait and see. We then saw some highlights from the awesome TNT title match last week between Christian Cage and Adam Copeland, because the Cope Open starts again on Saturday. When we had our main event, Swerve Strickland versus Takeshita, number one contender bout. Honestly, you could have put this on a pay-per-view. It was flipping great. They also started with that angry handshake, which isn't a real handshake because you grab the other guy's hand and you don't let go. Then it gets angrier and angrier and angrier. When it feels right in your head, you get to the wrestling. They then just kicked each other's head in for a while when we cut to the back because Samoa Joe was watching. When Swerve went after Takeshita's back, Takeshita was upset by that. So he dropped him with a brainbuster. Bless this man too, because he didn't care the referee was worried about Swerve and he just kicked his ass. And even when Strickland hit a desperation German suplex, Takeshita hit him so hard, Strickland fell out of the ring. Dun, dun, dun. I think he'd hurt his neck. Takeshita definitely noticed this too and all of a sudden started going after that wound. And do you know what Swerve tried to do to get back into this? The crossbody. We've already talked about it. Surprise, surprise, it had no effect. So Takeshita just kept on beating him up. He also flew to the outside, and how Takeshita has so much agility, I don't know. When Swerve came back with the Sky Twister Press, Takeshita's comeback to that was the least devastating move in all of sports entertainment, the Blue Thunderbolt. Did it work? Of course it didn't. It never does. Swerve then kept going for his rolling flatliner, but Takeshita kept reversing that, including one point when he just smashed his face in with a knee when they went back to the ring apron. And that's right, it was the Swerve Stomp. By this point, I was going through the wrestling moves book. I was like, I think they've done all of them. Takeshita really didn't care, though, because then when Swerve came off the top rope, he reversed that into a powerbomb. I was like, I do genuinely think that's the best thing I've ever seen in my life. Takeshita then went for a Mortal Kombat combo and finished that off with a power knee that got an amazing 1-2. When Strickland did the same thing, he got the house call, he hit the Swerve Stomp, and Takeshita also kicked out. Swerved into shock face, and by this point I was like, man, listen to the crowd, fight forever. But actually don't, because it would be terrifying. And when they got back to their feet once more, as they continued to train, and by this point I was amazed their skin wasn't falling off, when Swerve decided he was done, he hit a standing stomp before he hit the big pressure, whatever that flippy move is called. He got the 1-2-3, and I just applaud him, man. I don't even care. Renee was instantly in the back with Samoa Joe and got his thoughts, and he was just like, man, this guy has no idea. Look at him celebrating out there, even though he doesn't understand his fate, is that I'm going to kill him. It also sounds like we're going to get some kind of contract signing last week, because Joe promised that during that, he will make everybody understand that Swerve Strickland isn't that guy. And he's just going to be another victim. Strickland must have been watching this. We cut back to him and he was doing the whole, woo, give me the belt thing. And I can't wait for this match, which is now official for AEW Dynasty. And we absolutely have to crown Swerve. It's just the time. This is getting a massive up. It was a terrific main event. I also want to point out that probably before the end of the year or 2025, Takeshita should also be the world champion because he's amazing as well. This episode of Dynamite is getting an up. If you like good in-ring action, well, you should stop by. Where are you going to find better than this? Also, please make sure you do click the video on the screen, which is ups and downs from Monday Night Raw, so we can talk about The Rock going, look at you now, boy. Which has become a meme. Like the video, share the video, and subscribe. Make sure you leave a comment below and let me know where I went wrong, because it's the only way I will learn. Otherwise, have a great day, my friends. See you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.